And what I want to talk with you about today is comfort from meaning. Comfort from meaning. When your life has meaning, you have comfort. When your life has meaning, you have comfort. We find meaning in our lives when we're shooting for ideals. We find meaning. We find meaning when we're shooting for better, when we're shooting for higher, when we're shooting to be stronger and breaking boundaries. We find meaning when we're trying to accomplish something that's different than where we've already accomplished in our lives. When we shoot for greater, loftier, this requires an everyday venturing into the unknown, stretching yourself beyond the boundaries of your current self and carefully choose and pursue the ideals that are God's ideals, ideals that are up there, God's ideals in our lives, above you, superior to you, and that you can't always, ideals that you can't always be sure that you're ever going to even accomplish. But you know that it's worth going after because that brings meaning to our lives. Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith chapter, those people were given God ideals, things to shoot for in their lives, places to go and things to do. And even though they had these great ideals from God, it says in the chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, those people never even actually accomplished those things. But it was worth going after because it was God's ideals. They pursued it. Now, the pessimist would ask, but if we aren't certain that we're going to reach the ideal, then what's the point of it? Why bother trying if we're not even sure that we're going to reach it? If I fail, that's going to make me miserable. That's what the pessimist thinks. But here's why. Here's why we shoot for it. Because if you don't reach for ideals in your life, you're never going to feel like your life has meaning. But when you're shooting for something that's bigger than where you've been, it brings meaning to your life. And here's what God gives you. God gives you personally selected ideals to strive for that are unique to you, and that gives you meaning. You need meaning in your life. We need meaning in our life. We need it. We're built for it. And it is your life's meaning to focus on them, those ideals, and go for those ideals. But until you find and follow the path pursuing the ideals that God gives us in our lives, you're going to feel meaningless. Every problem and every struggle is going to leave you feeling more and more empty in your life without it, without that God-given ideal and without that meaning. Now, we're all searching for something to live for, and our world gives us so many options, a lot of entertainment, a lot of things that we can invest our lives in, trying to find that thing to strive for, that ideal in our lives. You know, some of us, our phone game is our, you know, that's where we find, oh man, I want to get to the next level in my phone game. And some of us, it's trying to shoot the biggest buck in the world, you know. For some of us, it's that amazing car. And some of us, it's a beautiful home. And some of us, it's a political stand. And we feel like that's what gives us meaning, something to fight for. And here's the deal. These things, though, they cannot be the ideal of our life. And as Christians, we've got to have something bigger and better than anything that the world provides. And that is what God gives us, His ideal for us. These things can have meaning for a short period of time to try to reach those things. But here's the thing. These things can also have meaning to help us reach our God-given ideals. But they cannot be the ideals of our life. Why? Because at some point you realize that phone game is just a waste of time. And nobody really wins. There's always somebody ahead of you. Why? Because if you're after the biggest buck in the woods, you spend thousands of dollars getting lease property, getting the best gun, getting all the gear together. You spend thousands of dollars. You put black stuff on your face. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you go and you climb a tree. And you're standing in this tree, and when the sun comes out, you've got this tube that sounds like a grunt, and you go, and you're trying to grunt in the biggest buck in the woods so that you can, and listen, you've also been told, and you grew up thinking, okay, the deer, they have the most amazing sense of hearing, and they can hear even a whisper, so you got to be still, got to be quiet. They've got great eyesight. They're going to be able to see you if you're not still and you're not quiet. And so in order to be a really good deer hunter, you got to be still, you got to be quiet. And they've got the smell if they smell you. And that's why you got to climb 20 feet up in a tree and tie yourself to that tree, hopefully, so that you don't fall out of it when you fall asleep, like I do. And you're there and you're intensely waiting. And I'm going to be the best hunter in the world. And if I get the biggest buck, then I will be known in the world as a great deer hunter. And you pull out your phone and the steam from your, and you look at Facebook and there's a 10-year-old girl that just shot the biggest buck. That car might be amazing, but there's someone that's got one better. That house might be absolutely beautiful, but there's someone that's got one better. And if you drive over a big overpass somewhere in this area, you'll look, and all you can see is roofs everywhere. There's all kinds of houses, isn't there? And that political party, eventually they're gonna fail you. You see, these things cannot be the ideals of our lives. Why? Because if they are, your life ends up meaningless. The meaning of your life is found in your ideals. So it's very important to choose your ideals. What are you shooting for? Is it lofty? Is it great? And here it is. Is it godly? Here's what you need to know. Your pain, your struggles, and your suffering are connected to your God-given ideals. Anybody ever had pain and struggle in your life? About 3 or 4 of us. 5, 6. All of us, Karen? Yeah. All of us. Here's how you know if you have the wrong ideals in your life. This is good. If your pain and struggles and suffering stop you from pursuing the ideals you're shooting for, those are not your God-given ideals. God-given ideals are pursued even if you never reach them. We pursue them. But if our pain and our suffering stop us, then those weren't our God-given ideals. Because your pain and struggles and suffering are connected to your God-given ideals. Let me give you some examples this morning from Scripture. In the Old Testament, there's a young man named Joseph. I love the story of Joseph. We talk about him quite a bit here. God had an ideal for Joseph, and he communicated it to him. Something unique for him to aim for in his life. And God began giving him, Joseph, dreams so that Joseph could know that no matter what it took, he would work his life to get to that ideal. And God would encourage him along the way, knowing that look, this is where you're headed. This is what you're going to eventually do, and that's what you're aiming for. So God gave him dreams. He dreamed that his entire family would one day bow down to him and serve him. And that meant that Joseph would be a great ruler one day. Now maybe when he was younger, he thought, oh, that's great. My brothers are going to bow down to me. This is wonderful. But later as he began to grow into maturity, he began to realize that that ideal that God had given me, that dream that God had given me, means that I'm going to have a lot of responsibility. I'm going to be a great leader in order for that to happen. Well, Joseph set his mind on that ideal and that purpose. And it was that focus that kept Joseph strong over the 13 years of difficulty and struggle that he went through. It started out with his brothers being jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery. How difficult that was. And beyond that, after he got into Egypt, he was then falsely accused and he was imprisoned for many years. That is great struggle. 13 years of great struggle. Now think about that. What if Joseph believed that the ideal of his life was, hey, my father has great favor on me. My father loves me more than the rest of the brothers. I need to just, my ideal life is to stay at home. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to grow up and I'm going to take care of the family. I'm going to take care of my father. He's got favor on me. And eventually, one day, he's going to turn the whole family over to me. And that's where I will, that's my ideal life. What if that was the dream that God, or that he had for his life instead of what God had given him? If Joseph had set his focus on that ideal, being sold into slavery never made sense. If the ideal for his life was to stay at home and eventually take over the family, being imprisoned for all those years never made sense towards that. If that was the ideal life for Joseph, sitting in prison for those many years would have been completely meaningless and hopeless. He would have never seen the ideal come to pass. Why? Because that wasn't God's plan for him. That wasn't God's ideal. God's ideal was something way bigger and way better. But because Joseph kept God's ideal in mind, everything that happened to him had meaning and he knew it. And the scripture says this over and over. As he was in prison, as he was struggling through those 13 years, Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with him. In other words, the Lord was there comforting him. Genesis 39:3, the Lord was with him. Verses 20 through 21, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. And then in verse 23, the Lord was with Joseph. Over and over, we have to understand that God was with him while he was doing those 13 years shooting for the ideal of his life. But imagine if he had become so frustrated and angry because the ideal of taking over the family and just serving his father that loved him all of those years of his life. Imagine if he had just said, no, that's the ideal of my life. And what am I doing in prison? Why am I here? Why am I being falsely accused? This is horrible. This is frustrating. And just lived a life of anger. What if that's what Joseph had done? All through his pains and struggles and suffering, God was with him. And God knew about it. And because of that, Joseph experienced favor all along the way and comfort. God comforted Joseph through his pain. Joseph's pain was the path to God's ideal. Let that sink in. Joseph's pain was the path to God's ideal life for him. And knowing that brought comfort. Even though he was a slave, he became the head servant. Even though he was a prisoner, he became the head prisoner. God's favor and God's comfort was on him. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison ward. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now here's another key to this. While he was in prison, he took responsibility. God had comforted him so much in prison that he took responsibility while he was in prison, and he just enjoyed it. Taking responsibility. When you have God's ideal in focus, there is comfort in your sufferings, and you're able to take responsibility while you're in a difficult time. You see, God gave comfort to Joseph, and I'm telling you, he will give comfort to you. Joseph could have been angry, felt hopeless. Well, how could I be in prison? How am I ever going to be where God wants me to be? God gave me dreams that my family would bow to me. And if he was stuck on that from a human perspective and not trusting that God is going to bring it to pass in a much bigger way than he could ever have dreamed, he would have never taken on responsibility and he would have never received the comfort from God. And because of that, though, when the time came, Joseph went straight from the prison to the palace. In just a moment's time, everything changed. And he went straight from prison to the palace. And he became the second in command of all of Egypt. And he realized that God's ideal for his life wasn't so much that his brothers would bow to him. It was that God had great responsibility for him to embrace. So here's a question. Have you accepted God's ideal for your life? Where is he taking you? What is he doing in your life? And here's how you know you still have work to do. That's okay, Vivian. Hey, at least it's reading scripture, right? That's awesome. Yes. All right, here's how you know you still have work to do in embracing his ideal life for you, okay? When you have God's ideal in focus, you have his comfort. And if you're looking back at all of the stuff in your life and you still haven't figured it out, if your life's pain seems like there's dangling issues, well, I don't understand. Why did God put me through this? And why did this season happen in my life? And what happened here? I don't understand that. That really hurt. I don't get that. I went through a period of sickness here, and I don't understand. Why would God allow that? And all of this doesn't make sense, and I'm just frustrated. I just want to get through this life and hope that there's a heaven, and maybe I get over there and have some peace on that side. And it's so easy for us to stop there and forget that God uses our pain and struggles to get us to the ideal, just like he did for Joseph. Mary and Joseph, let's talk about them. Imagine what they thought the ideal of their life would be. They were excited about getting married. Mary was just a teenager. What do you think the ideal life for them would have been? What do you think they had in mind? Come on, give me some feedback. When you were excited about getting married, you wanted a baby, right? But not yet. You wanted a baby together, right? What else?
A house.
A house. Oh my goodness, we're going to have a house, Joseph. Yes, Mary, we're going to have a house. I've got this business. I'm a great carpenter. We're going to grow the business. You can imagine, can't you? They had all these ideals, and one of the things that was really important also was for them to have respect in the community, to have respect and to be good people with good reputations in their community, to get married and to have kids and to build a home and grow their business. But suddenly, she was pregnant. Their reputation in the community was shot. Because she got pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph wasn't even going to marry her. All of their ideals just came to a halt. You can imagine how difficult that was. The pain that this baby was going to bring to them. Their ideal of having kids and their, you know, whole and building a home together and all of that. And growing their business. All of it was gone. Mary and Joseph could have spent the rest of their lives angry, feeling like their entire meaning to life was thwarted because of this baby. Or they could change their perspective to God's ideal. what God had in mind. And they could find meaning and comfort in their trial. You see, God had a purpose for this baby. The greatest events in the history of the universe were about to take place. It was all about to unfold. God had a huge purpose in it. And God was going to come into this world as a baby, and he was going to bring salvation to all who would accept a relationship with God. It was huge. Yeah, but God, we've got our ideals. We've got this marriage that we're about to have, and we're going to have our own home. We're going to have all of this and our business and all of it. God, we've got it lined out. We're good people, and there's no reason that we should have to change those ideals. And God said, wait a second. I'm about to do something way bigger than you could ever imagine. Well, Mary also had a relative. Her name was Elizabeth. We talked about Elizabeth last week. Y'all remember Elizabeth? She was pregnant at the same time. And while Mary was this teenage girl, she was an old woman. She was like 45. No, I don't have a clue how old she was. I'm just seeing if you're awake. Y'all, all the ladies are like, 45? What? All her life, Elizabeth had felt like she was overlooked by God. She was disgraced in the community because she didn't have a baby, and it was a horrible wife that couldn't give a baby to her husband. I mean, it was just a weird, different situation back then. And Elizabeth, though, and her husband, they were God-fearing people. Zechariah, they were good people, and you don't read where Zechariah necessarily is ever complaining or anything, and she's just feeling disgraced on her own, and she feels like God has overlooked her, and there wasn't a reason in the world that God was withholding a baby except maybe some purpose. And you can imagine how frustrated they were along the way. Zechariah was probably wondering, well, God, did I marry the wrong person? And you can imagine Elizabeth thinking, well, you know, maybe there's some kind of sin in Zechariah's life that God is, and I'm just caught in the crossfire and not able to conceive because of that. I don't know. And all the while their pain and suffering went on, they had great purpose in it. And the scripture says that they kept serving God all their lives and trusting him anyway. And they now they're very old, and suddenly she's pregnant. And suddenly God's ideal was coming to pass. And not just some baby, but John the Baptist. I feel like we're doing an illustrated sermon with the baby. It's awesome. No, please don't apologize. We're so grateful. She was going to give birth to John the Baptist. All the pain, all the suffering, and she was about to give birth to somebody that it had been prophesied hundreds of years ago. This was a big deal. The one that was spoken to be the voice crying out in the wilderness, the Messiah has come. Listen, you can trust that God has an ideal for your life. He has a reason for you. And you can invest your life in all the things that the world offers to distract and to console and to try to comfort us in our moments of struggle. And, you know, so much we're addicted to this. And I'm guilty. The question is, have we turned ourselves over to his ideal? Why has he put you here? He knows who you are and why he created you. You can trust that what God has given you and hasn't given you is all a part of his ideal for you. You can know that whatever struggle, whatever loss, whatever hurt, whatever failure, whatever frustration, everything in your life, that he turns towards that ideal. You can trust that. And you can give yourself over to his ideal. And here's what you need to remember. That all of your pain and struggle and all of those issues, They make sense when you connect your life to His ideal. God sent Gabriel to Mary to tell her about the baby that she was pregnant with. So you got Elizabeth over here, you got Mary over here. He sends this angel, Gabriel. And now think about this. God's message to her was this: Mary, I know you expect this out of your life, but this is what I'm about to do. You're pregnant. I know you wanted this. I know you expected this to happen in your life, and this is what you wanted. You wanted the white picket fence, the dog, the husband, everything the way that you had in mind, but this is what I'm doing. And it overrides yours. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was suspect. Oh, boy. It says Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Oh, if he's calling me that, he's got something up his sleeve. And wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." In other words, this was your ideal, but oh my goodness, this is what God is doing in your life. "How will this be?" she said. "I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant." Look at her response. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This baby changed everything in her life. Changed everything. An angel also went to Joseph and had to explain to him, "Hey, Joseph, this is what you were hoping for in life, but Joseph, she's pregnant. And you need to trust God that it's going to be okay. I know your reputation is going to be questioned by those that want to question it, but I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. This is the Messiah that is coming, and it's coming through you and Mary. It's awesome." And Joseph was about to leave Mary, but what was he going to do? He was going to go pursue his own ideals. I just want a simple life. I just want to have my business, and I want a house, and I want the white picket fence, and I want a dog, and I just want a simple life. And God comes and says, "No, you're not going to have a simple life. I'm going to bring the Messiah through Mary to you, and I want you to raise this kid." And here's what we know. When they submitted to God's ideal for their lives, the baby made sense. The baby made sense. At first, the baby was painful. It was a painful situation. And it didn't make sense. Oh, how could I be pregnant? How could I be pregnant? How could she be pregnant? How could she do this to me? This is my life, and she's ruining my life. How could this happen? The pain that came with that. But when you see God's ideal, when they saw God's ideal, they realized the baby was everything. And when you realize God's ideal in your life, you realize the pain becomes everything. The struggle that you faced, the mountains you had to climb, the rivers you had to forge, that becomes everything when you put God's ideal in your life. Everything comes together. Mary got her suitcase and she packed it up. And she went to Judea to visit Elizabeth, and she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. "Elizabeth, hello, are you here?" And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can imagine, it was like Chloe and Laura Ashley seeing each other in the mall. You can imagine what it was like. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But by who, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Oh my goodness, she already recognized Jesus was in her womb. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And then Mary wrote this song. Remember, she's pregnant, but she's embraced God's ideal for her life. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." We call Mary blessed, don't we? "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. In other words, she was already 6 months, so about 3 months until the baby was born, most likely. And then she returned home. James David, would you come? You can imagine, just imagine. Mary, she's got her suitcase, and she's walking back into Nazareth. And by now, she's about 3 months pregnant. Her body's changing. She's got a baby bump. And she goes walking into town. There's Mary. Oh my goodness, she's pregnant. Do you see that? I think it is. I think that's baby. She's pregnant. They're not married yet, are they? And she goes walking through town. And instead of the whispers and whatever she's heard being painful, she knows she's with God. And God comforts her. The meaning of the pregnancy comforts her. And when you begin to put meaning to your problems and your struggles, your trials, cancer, all the issues that you face in your life, when you begin to put meaning to it, she was living her meaning for her life, and it brought comfort. And she was confident. So as we conclude today, I want to just throw a warning out here for you. The way we deal with our life struggles and issues and problems is very important. And this is what philosophers have called. I want to just give you another way that people deal with it. Philosophers call this the Western Buddhism. And Western Buddhism, you know, it's a religion. It's a way of dealing with pain and suffering by separating oneself from will and desires to reduce suffering. In other words, it's the idea that if I don't want anything, I don't miss anything. I'm calm and okay. I don't want anything. I'm not going to miss anything. If I believe there's nothing to value in the world, then I'm numb to any kind of loss. And I got to be honest with you, I talk to a lot of people. And a lot of people have taken this on. They don't even know it, that it's basically a religion. I just decide, you know, nothing's going to faze me. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to live my life. And if I die, I die. If I live, I live. And whatever happens to me, it happens. And because they haven't put meaning to the problems and struggles in their lives. So they just say, you know what? I'm just going to numb myself to it. do whatever it takes, just let it go. And in this view of life, our existence has no meaning. It's completely vain. It's useless. And all of our pain in life is useless. All of our success is even useless in that situation. And what happens is depression and discouragement and pessimism and downward. We get on a downward spiral until we fall into despair. And God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to realize I have an ideal for your life. I have a reason for you being here. And all of your pain is part of that. And if you will connect it with me, you will find meaning. And because of that, you will find comfort. And when your life is focused on God, all of your life has meaning. Your deer hunting has meaning. Your car can have meaning. Your house can have meaning. Your shopping can have meaning. Your children can have meaning. Oh, God, help. Your job can have meaning. It does. All of it has meaning. Your everyday life, everything, even the ordinary, has meaning. Your suffering, everything has meaning. And with that comes great comfort. You can endure life's worst of the worst and be comforted when you know it has meaning. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you find God's ideal for your life, all of the things that have happened make sense. Let me read a scripture to you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read from a version you may or may not have ever read. It's just in our vernacular. Paul says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Embracing what God does for you. In other words, embracing His ideal life for you. Embracing everything that He allows you to go through. Embracing everything that He does in your life is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. What is he saying? He's saying don't use the stuff the culture is using in order to have your ideals in life. Get it from him. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I don't know about you, but I don't become mature without pain and without struggle and without difficulty. Those are the things that God gives us to get us where he wants us to be and to find that maturity when we reach that place of the ideal or to pursue it for the rest of our lives. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here today and you've always questioned God, why have I gone through this? Why did you allow this? I don't understand. Maybe you've got those dangling pieces of your life out there that just feel like they don't fit, they don't make sense, and you don't understand. And you felt like, man, this was God's direction, I thought, and then it turned out this way. I don't understand. All of it has to do with his ideal for you. But today maybe is the day for you to finally trust him and say, God, I submit my life to your ideal, what you have planned for me. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like Elizabeth. I want to be like Joseph and trust you even through it. Father, we ask you for your healing and peace. We thank you that you do have a purpose and a plan, an ideal for our lives, and we submit ourselves to that today. And I sense that right now there's light bulbs going on, connections happening, things that have happened throughout their lives suddenly making sense. We thank you. Maybe there's somebody here today that has not accepted Christ into your life. Just do it right where you are. It's about you and a relationship with Him. Talk to Him. God, I accept you into my life. I accept who you are, what you like and what you don't like. I want to get to know you. And I give you my life. I've tried all the things of this world and I want my life to matter. I want meaning. And God, we ask you for comfort now. Our lives make sense in Christ. Let there be comfort and hope in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.